As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
This was an ugly performance by them for 75-80% of the game. I did not like the way that they played at all. I really didn't. They were giving up too many three-pointers. Their defense wasn't where I wanted it to be. It took a long time for Karl-Anthony Towns to get going, and then bang, they ran him right out of the building. So I felt great after the game. I felt tremendous. But during that game, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Especially when Jalen Brunson went down.
Yeah, and he
and you're thinking, oh, my God, here we go again. He's going to be hurt again. And he was kind of limping around. Once he went down, he was still limping around the rest of the game.
Yeah, no, I know. And you know, they're talking about it on the broadcast about how, you know, the strength in that ankle probably isn't quite there yet. And there's a lot of things with him, you know, cutting and stopping on a dime that he's going to have to get that strength back. But yeah, I mean, it was a little bit scary to see that, but he still battled through it. And you had some unbelievable plays by him and some off balance shots by Karl-Anthony Towns. OG Anunoby's offense really kept him in the game when the Pistons were trying to run away with it. But still, I mean, you know, this isn't, you know, we know the Celtics are one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the league. The Pistons are a team that, you know, they got Malik Beasley who hits a bunch of threes. Tim Hardaway was draining threes. Tobias Harris is draining threes. I'm like, guys, you're not going to go anywhere if you can't defend the 3-pointer, for God's sake.
That's exactly right. But I also know that Cameron Payne saved their ass.
Yeah.
I mean, he came out of nowhere and he stepped up big and he's got playoff experience. And, you know, they were doing the right thing. They were feeding it to him and he was shooting it. He's got that weird shot.
Well, but, yeah, lefty, right?
Yeah, that's mean, he was on fire. I mean, and when you hit those shots, and again, to me, at least this was reminiscent of a little bit of the 90s basketball between these two teams. There was a lot of guys on the ground in this basketball game.
Well, yeah,
it was amazing to me how many guys were on the ground.
Yeah, I know. And more so from a Pistons standpoint. I mean, they know if they're going to win this series, it's going to be because they just grind them down. And I mean, a guy like Jalen Duren, they look like he's chiseled out of stone at 22 years old.
Yeah.
He's just pushing people around. You're like, oh my goodness. You know, and then Cade Cunningham, took him a while to really get going. But then in the second half, he looked more comfortable. But, you know, if they would have lost that game with the way that it was trending there before the 21-0 run, I would have had serious, serious concerns. But we always have that conversation, that classic sports talk conversation about a team that seems to be getting a little lazy in a regular season or is bored by a long year. Can they flip the switch? They flipped the switch.
Well, I mean, against that team they did, because this team didn't shoot very well. And, you know, again, you always talk about defending a three-pointer, and it's still something that they don't do very well. And let's face it, the Pistons in the fourth quarter couldn't hold on to the ball. I mean, in the 21-0 run was amazing. Because we've never seen that as a Knicks fan. No. I've never seen that as a Knicks fan. I've seen games where way back when, and for those of us who are older Knicks fans, do remember some of the most miraculous comebacks that a basketball team could ever have without the three-point shot. And that was when, you know, Clyde Frazier always seemed, if we needed a three-point play, somehow he always got it. And that's kind of the way Jalen Brunson plays. He knows how to initiate contact. They're complaining about it already. We're one game in, and, you know, the Pistons are already complaining about how he sells the fouls, which is what these playoffs are all about. This is you start writing the story of a playoff series, and we're one game in, and essentially the Pistons are complaining about the way that he sells the fouls.
Yeah.
But that's part of his game. That's part of who he is. And that's, you know, listen, I just think that OG Anunoby in the first half made it increasingly difficult on Cade Cunningham.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, he was
all over him.
Yeah, OG was the best player on the floor for the first half. And it's not like he disappeared in the second half, but he was the guy in the first half. It was amazing. But yeah, remember last year with Rick Carlisle in the Pacers series? Like, there is this thing that these other coaches have where they think that the NBA is going to give the Knicks the benefit of the doubt because it's New York and they want to be able to get the TV ratings. And, you know, I know that the NBA would rather have the Knicks move on in a Knicks-Celtics series than the Pistons move on, but I don't think that the officials are calling it that way. But J.B. Bickerstaff and both Rick Carlisle, the last two playoff series these guys are doing the same thing and bitching and complaining about
it. Take it from a guy who basically played, you know, 10 out of his 13 years in small market cities.
Yeah.
And when we played a big market team, you just naturally feel that way. Like when the penalties come and the flags come at the most inopportune times, and you're sitting there going, what the F is going on here? You want the Giants to win. You want the Jets to win. Then I played for the Jets, and nothing like that ever. I never felt like we were getting the calls when I was playing for the Jets. As a matter of fact, I always thought the calls were going against us because I played for the Jets. Right. So that mindset, I understand where the coaches are coming from and some of the players are coming from. They do have to say that, and they have to convince themselves in their locker room that they're dealing with just more than having to play basketball in their minds. I'm not saying it's right. I don't believe that that's the case. I'm on the same page as you are, but I will say that if I were the underdog, in this case, like the Pacers were last year, and they talked themselves into beating the Knicks because the Knicks ended up losing guy after guy after guy, if I'm the Pistons, I'm saying the same things. I'm trying to convince myself that I have to give more because I'm battling against more. And it's just a mindset that I think the underdog has. And I would say, you know, Detroit's not really a small basketball market. It's a big basketball market.
Of course, yeah. I mean, they got a great fan base. They've won championships before. Yeah. They're going to be fired up for Game 3, even if they're down 2-0, even more fired up if they find a way to win tonight. But, I mean, the thing that I'm concerned about, though, is, you know, if the Knicks continue to win against this team, there's going to be more agitation. There's going to be more stuff. And there's going to be
elbows flying. There's going to be elbows flying. There's going to be stuff to the back of the head.
Injuries and suspensions and stuff like that.
Got to be careful.
Yeah, because that's exactly what, like I remember, like there's so many examples in hockey where, and you've talked about this many times with the Rangers, like you can't let this team coach you into doing this or doing that. Like you see that all the time, like the agitators coming out and all of a sudden you're getting a penalty for this or that. This is a totally different sport, but the Pistons play basketball like hockey. You know, they're hitting people on every single time that they're out there. They're throwing elbows, hips, everything.
And remember, from their perspective, you know, their fan base wants them to play like this.
Oh, yeah.
Because their fan base has that love affair with the Bad Boys, just like we have our love affair with the 94, 96, 99 Knicks and the way that they play basketball with Patrick Ewing as the lead guy, you know, for most of those except for 99. But the thing is that they're trying to live up to that history. And everybody, you know, knows it. Everybody's openly talking about it. All the people, the analysts that are covering the league, that's all they hearken back to the Bad Boys.
Sure, of course.
Bill Laimbeer and everybody else. So this team wants to try to be that way. And the other team coming into this, whether we believe it or not, it doesn't matter. But the overall or overarching theory about the Knicks is that they're soft.
Well, especially with Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, and that is... That's frustrating from a Knicks fan perspective, and there's times where he'll hit a three and he barely just jumps up in the air and it's so smooth and perfect. And then he makes these acrobatic shots to keep him in the game.
When he goes into the paint towards the basket
authoritatively,
and he's dribbling the ball, I'm like, you want to get in front of that?
No, you don't. But he doesn't do it enough. And then defensively, he's just kind of like lumbering around. I don't know. He ended up having a pretty decent stat line by the end of it. It was shaping up to be pretty underwhelming at first, but I mean, that whole soft thing comes from Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah, I know, and that's, you know, so Mitchell Robinson played a few more minutes than he normally was. He's up to 18 now. He went with nine guys. Tibbs went with nine guys in rotation, so that was good. I just think that, you know, it was a dicey first half. Let's put it that way.
What was that? I mean, there's a dicey three-and-a-half quarters is what it felt
that
like.
That 21-0 run where the Pistons couldn't hold on to the ball. They kept turning it over, bad passes.
Chucking up bad shots.
I mean, that's what a relentless defense can do to you.